Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you for yet another day. We thank you because you are indeed our God. Thank you for your word that you have sent to us. We'll learn at your feet. Will not depart from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And welcome to church once again. And I'm sure that you have been blessed. Amen. Interesting things do happen when we're in God's presence. This morning, I'll lead us in looking at how to set your priorities. Setting your priorities. And it's important. You know, when we are born, or when a child is born, the parents help in setting priorities, whether you like it or not. So, if you come from the regular family, they set it that you must go to school, and they set everything, hoping that you follow all that they've laid down for you, so that you can see what the end will be like. And not everybody sees what they see when they set those priorities for you. So for them, let me just use myself as an example. You go to kindergarten, from there you go to primary, then secondary. It's when you are getting, well, for me, maybe children are different. It was when I was getting to SS1 that I knew that there was a life after secondary school. Amen. And then I began to wonder what I would do. But of course, they had it set out that so when you finish secondary school, then you go to university and all that. I'm telling you that by the time you are to take charge of your life, in quote, mind you, you're supposed to take charge of your life from the very beginning, get go. So once a child is able to start reasoning, you as a parent should help him and guide him. You know, in this age and time, no apologies. In this age and time, I don't know what the essence of schooling is in this country. Yeah, I don't, really. Except you go to these private universities that help you. When you go to a regular school, it's the same notes that they used 25 years ago when I was in school. Hallelujah. But if you go to schools outside, you see that the way they do the things, they don't want you to be letter. They want you to reason. So of recent, my son sat for an exam and I was trying to teach him. And when we arrive at the answers, they don't stop at the answers. So if I get everything and say, oh, this guy is moving at 10 meters per second, they don't stop at 10 meters per second. And they tell you what is the implication of this answer. You get what I'm saying? So they don't just allow you to work out the answer. They allow you to reason out and say, so at this, what do you expect? That's how to help people think. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, in life, okay, before I go to life. So there was a time we were erecting a building in Ibadan. And of course, we went through the normal things. You design, get the architect to design, get the structural engineer, everybody looked at everything. And then we started building. So we built, we laid the foundation. And we're having problems. So initially we thought, a tanker can come, drop water, you know. And then we looked at it. At a point, the engineer building said, look, we need to dig a well. Okay? So we dug 25 feet, 30 feet, no water. And the guy said, so they got dynamite. So because we got to rocks, so they got dynamite. And we're blasting the rocks in the well. So that, and of course, for me, it was scientific because I know that you get to water after that rock. So after blasting like 4 or 5 times, the guy stopped and said he's not blasting anymore. He said, because what he's doing is weakening the foundation that he already built. So the well was somewhere there and the house was somewhere where the camera is. So, I mean, land movement and vibration, the man stopped. Why? It was more important for him that you have a structure that stands the test of time than to get water at that point in time. You get water by other means, right? Worst case, you bring tanker that will be dumping water every month or every 3 months. And I think even now, we dump water every 6 months in that place because we just abandoned the well. So we turned the well into drainage. So when you pour the water and everything, it just goes into that and it soaks away. But I'm saying, look at what a man with knowledge did and said, no, we need to stop. We've already built a foundation and it's going to weaken the foundation. You have to set priorities and you have to be careful how you lay foundations and how you build upon the priorities that you set. In life, everybody just wakes up one day. Most people wake up one day and decide, I want to be this, I want to be that. I want to have this, I want to have that. And they begin to pursue what they think that they want to be or what they think they want to have. But that's dangerous because there are foundations that have to be laid. Hallelujah. There are certain things that are more important, okay, than others, even though those other things are important. Amen. I just gave you an example. The foundation, the house was important. It was important to get water. But it was more important that when you live in that house, you just wake up one day and everything has collapsed. Okay? Hallelujah. So we solved that problem. We dug an underground tank and rainwater will run into that underground tank. And if there's no rain, a tanker will come and dump. Because they said to get borehole there will probably be a lot of money. So even if you calculate the number of times the tanker will come in 30 years. when they gave me the bill, I looked at it and said, if the tanker even comes 10 times in a year, it will not, this bill that they give. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's important that you build. And the thing that everybody forgets is that there's a foundation to be laid for every other thing to be built upon. Hallelujah. So, I want to become an engineer. I want to become whatever I want to become. There is a foundation to be laid. When I was about 20 years ago, when I was still looking for who to marry, and Setman said these things. He said that you need to find the scripture. And it applies to every facet of life, every face in your life. You need to find the scripture that you hold on to in this pursuit. So when you eventually get there, and when the storms eventually come, please don't be deceived. Storms will come. Hallelujah. Storms will come. Anywhere, storms will come. Even when anything you are doing, storms will come. And that's why these provisions have been made. So that when the storms come, it's that scripture that you go back to and be like, get your strength back from that scripture. Hallelujah. So you have a project, please find the scripture. And that's the foundation, the most important foundation to lay, is that spiritual foundation. Amen. You cannot build on any other foundation to last except the spiritual. Hallelujah. So if you say, nah, what's this guy saying? A lot of intellectual things you can do, intellectual, blah, 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 you can figure things out, it will fail. Amen. 6-7 months ago, everybody could walk to any ATM at any time of the day in this country and pull out money and you'll be forming. Abi, you'll be forming that you have money. You can go, just but now, they say the rich also cry. Although there are different levels, but all of you are like me now. I don't have cash in my pocket. All of you be laughing. This pastor, everyone doesn't have money. It's Mrs. Ajayi that used to bail me. when we go anywhere, the stick set man built me once that time when we went to Undo and we bust the tire. I bust the tire of my car and then we needed money. But for, you know, God is very good. Because God knows that this is the way this boy is. When we were traveling, I think I had like 5,000 I put in my pocket. But when the tire bust, the set man now supported me on that journey. But now all of you are like me now. If you say, where's cash now? There's no cash. Everybody, that's when everybody now begins to say, you can transfer. The transfer that, if you tell people to collect transfer before, they say, no, I can't collect the transfer. I'm saying that all these things that we think we can figure out, when it gets to a point, they'll fail. The only thing that will not fail is that spiritual foundation that you have built your life upon. So ideally, you're supposed to build a spiritual foundation. And on that spiritual foundation, you can rest all your intellectual capacities. Amen. Not that you build your intellectual capacity and then decide that your spiritual foundation will be on your intellectual. It's going to fail. Amen. You know, it's like if you want to, I think which other day was it? We were trying to fix. So if, imagine if we were trying to fix any of these light fittings. And then we put that stand where the car is, we put it on top of these two. And we decide that we're going to climb up. Even you, when you look at it, you say, Pastor, why are you? Is there something wrong that these two cannot support this stand for us to get to where we are going? It should be the other way around. So liken this tool to your intellectual capability and liken the stand to your spiritual capability. Your intellectual capacity and capability should rest upon your spiritual capacity. Hallelujah. In the book of in Matthew, chapter 23, and I read verse 23. It says, "Woe to you, scribes." Matthew 23, verse 23. I read the NKJV. Say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Amen. He says, hear it again, that woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, they are hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Hallelujah. So in this portion, it's telling them, look, your priorities are wrong. Okay? Now, in certain priorities, it doesn't mean that the one you put last is not important. It just means that you are able to set things in the right perspective, doing the most important things first, and then building up on it all. So he was telling them, look, tithing is not a problem, but the weightier matters of law, justice, and mercy, you have neglected. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot neglect weightier matters and be building on matters that of lower consequential importance. Hallelujah. So I was trying to tell my son, I said, yes, we are going to school. Yes, there's a syllabus. Yes, there's a curriculum. But you also need to look at what is happening in the entire space. I said, okay, this space is what I want to go into. What is going to be relevant, not next year, 5 years' time, and in 10 years' time. Hallelujah. Because for him, in 10 years' time, he probably will be in that space, right? Between 5 and 10 years' time, he will be in that space. And the foundation that he helped to build is to be built now. And so when he goes to school and then they come out with quadratic equation, how relevant will be quadratic equation in the next 5-10 years? Hallelujah. So one time I was in China. I went for a training. And that's the only time I've been to China. I don't think I'm forming, no. I'm not forming, no. It's just God that sent me to China. So I went there for a particular course. And because the number of days for that course was not so, I don't know, the duration was not so long, they looked for another course just to make it worth the while, spending all that. For me, it wasn't even about the money. It's about this, about 19 hours to get there. And then you do 3 days and you're coming back. Kukuma do the 3 days in Nigeria, Abi. Because it was a very lengthy journey. And all the stress, even to settle down, was a problem. That's where that robot welcomed me to the hotel. So when I got to the hotel and the receptionist said, your name? So I said, follow this thing. That robot wasn't as tall as these two. He just said, okay. She tried her best to speak English and then he said, sir, you follow the machine. Okay. So the machine spoke Chinese and then you have to follow. That's the way life is. You have to follow. If a small child is talking to you and say, why are you talking to me like that? Because we knew that the way we are going is dependent on this machine. I just followed JJ. I think I recorded it. So I took time to record it and the thing was talking. We didn't hear. We just believed somewhere in our heart that it was taking us. And then he got to the front of the lift. And the guy opened the lift. How he opened the lift, I don't know. And then we entered. And then he was inside the lift with us, the machine. And he was talking. At a point, we deduced that what he was saying was each time he gets to a floor, they programmed it. Some of us were going to fifth floor, some were going to seventh floor. So we noticed that he was not stopping on every floor. So we looked at our cards. Oh, so this is what this guy is doing. So when one guy got to fifth floor, he got out. And then the guy closed the lift again, and then seventh floor, we got out, and I was laughing. Hallelujah. So when I went to that training, okay, he talked to us about artificial intelligence. And then he showed us a video that in the very near future, and that future is near, just like we're reading this morning that there are quakes and quakes happening. That future is very near. You enter a store, you pick up this bottle of water, and you go out. You don't need to talk to anybody. And you get debit alert on your phone. Because as you entered the shop, something has told the shop. And as you picked it, it told out that this guy picked this butter, it's 100 naira. And this is his account, and you debit it. And you don't need to talk to anybody. So I told my son, I said, look, if you do not go and begin to reason in this line, then we will be setting wrong priorities. Amen. You need to begin to look at that. So even for all of us, very soon, there won't be shop attendants. Don't think that Nigeria is Nigeria. You already have 5G in Nigeria. And it's so soon, it's very soon. We already have 5G in Nigeria. Don't we have 5G? And the reason why we have 5G is because that these things can happen. So very soon, we will not have shop attendants. So we just walk into the shop. I don't think that you can go and break anything and go away. Hallelujah. That's why we are in Lagos. When you see all these things that government is digging, and you say, why are they digging? Mr. Sajere was complaining when they were trying to make him modern. Say, why are they digging in front of my shop? It's because of what they are seeing. They are setting their priorities for the future. Hallelujah. And we ought also to do it. But I'm saying that before you get to those, I want to be artificially intelligent and blah, blah, compliant, your spiritual foundation matters. Amen. Some men, I'll read to you what they said. Andy Stanley, he says, we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. We don't drift in good directions. You know why? Good things do not come easy. So the natural state of everything is entropy. That's the best thing I learned in chemistry when I was in secondary school. That entropy, disorder, is the natural state of things. So this, what we have here, it took us breaking down the natural state of things and constructing whatever we want to construct. Because things naturally happen in a disorderly manner. Hallelujah. But in that disorderliness that we are talking about, you see some orderliness. Because if we enter the tropical rainforest, you see that even as it looks like a forest, there is a strata in the forest. There is those that are low and this and this. But when we look at it ordinarily, it does not suit our purpose. So we need to do something extraordinary to bring that purpose about. And if it has to be good, you do not drift towards goodness. Hallelujah. You have to prioritize and work towards it because it takes a lot of effort. Do you get me? He said that we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. Hallelujah. Rick Warren, you know Rick Warren? Okay. He says, living in light of eternity changes your priority. Amen. So when you are thinking of eternity, or you are looking at eternity, it changes what you call priorities. Hallelujah. So for me, after service now, when I get home, my priority is to rest. Because anything after midday today, to the end of today, is the only time I have to rest. By tomorrow morning, even by midnight, wahala starts. And the wahala will not end until Saturday, unless you steal some time. So you look at it, this is my priority. But for the people around me, that's when somebody will know that I want to go and watch cinema, or I want to go to somebody's house. My own priority is to rejuvenate my body. Somebody's priority is to satisfy his craving. Amen. When your priority, living in the light of eternity, is your priority, that's what he's saying here, then your priorities will change. Hallelujah. What you'll be pursuing will be totally different. But don't think that, and why are we always talking about these spiritual matters? Because even if you want to be utterly relevant, it has to start from the spiritual point of view. So men influence other people, not because they are intellectually sound. Everybody that has influenced any other person has a spiritual backing. Amen. It doesn't just happen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. I read from verse 1 and stop at verse 3. I'm still talking about this drifting. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Hallelujah. Amen. Andy said, Andy Stanley, he's not in the scripture. I just want to read that quote I said about Andy Stanley, that we don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there. That's what he said. So you don't drift in good directions. If you want to go to a good direction, you will discipline yourself and make it a priority. And the Bible is telling us here that we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Hallelujah. We have heard the good news. We are in God's fold. Hallelujah. You have the good things before you in your hand. He's saying for you to remain in that state, or yes, in that state or mode, you have to take the more earnest heed. Pay attention, lest you drift away from the things that you have heard. You have heard, you have accepted it, you need to hold on to it and stay attentive. Holding on to anything good is not by chance. Hallelujah. Amen. But you readily drift away from good things. You don't drift to good things. That's why we say, come to church. I mean, you can pray in your house, Abby. But when you're praying in your house, you'll be sweeping. Except you're very disciplined. Everybody can stay at home and decide that they want to pray. But you need encouragement. And even for the people online, they are listening. They are, because they understand that you need to reignite or fire for the next level. Every foundation that you are laying today is not for today. It's for tomorrow. Hallelujah. So if it's going to be good, you cannot drift towards it. You have to be disciplined and you have to prioritize about it. Hallelujah. Amen. See, some people rely on the things that they can do. Say, I'm very good at this, I'm very good at that. And they just keep saying it. I say, we are looking for somebody to do this. They say, I'm good. They keep doing it. But even the foundation of anything that you have, the knowledge that you think you have, has to be spiritual. In the book of, I think it's Exodus, in the story of Oholiab and Bezalel, they were regular craftsmen. Hallelujah. So they just were craftsmen and they could do things. But the Bible says, Exodus 31, I think. Yeah, Exodus 31. So that you don't begin to rest on your oars and say, no, this is it. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Exodus 31 from verse 1, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamac, of the tribe of Dan, and have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Amen. Hallelujah. So so that you can understand the foolishness of man. Imagine that these guys, when they started doing all that they were doing, they sat back and say, in fact, I'm the best. Imagine that these guys, Bezalel, Oholiab, and all those guys, after they designed everything that they designed for Moses, according to what God showed him, they sat down and said, oh, I'm the best. And they begin to puff all over the place. They will quickly lose everything because the origin was not from them. The origin was spiritual. So God said, I have put, and says, I have gifted other craftsmen to support in the work that I have called you. Amen. So what you see at the end of the day is men that are well crafted. But in the background, the destination that where God is going was what was important to God. That I have given Moses an assignment. Okay? And he needs to do these things exactly the way I've told him. So God puts his spirit in these guys and said, let them do, just tell them the instruction. That's wisdom that I've given to them, they'll be able to deliver. So everything that they were doing was not of their own making. Despite the fact that they had foundations. Because he said gifted craftsmen, they were gifted, they could do it ordinarily. But if we do it supernaturally, then it has to be from God. So if after all said and done, they became Lord and mighty like Musi Pua and say, without me, nothing can happen, then there's a problem. Hallelujah. That time won't permit me. But in the story of Samson, everybody says that the power of Samson was where? In his hair. But you know, we read that his power was because God was with him. And the day that God left, that power left. Hallelujah. Because he chose not to set his priorities right. He had, from the day one, he had known that he was a Nazarene. Amen. Matthew 6:19 tells us, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rot destroy, and where trees break in and steal. Hallelujah. It is important that you begin to lay. I can't finish this today. I will continue next Sunday because we will take the spiritual thing and break it down. I just set in a tone. It is important that spiritual foundation is there. And you have to continually maintain it. Amen. I mean, I know this country, we don't have those examples. But when we finish buildings, there are certain rules and sets of procedures. You need to check on that building every time so that you are sure that the members, I mean, they call them structural tests. So you don't just say, I finished building, and then for 20 years, when you go under some bridges in this city, when you go, you will see that this bridge lacked maintenance. It will soon cave in. Because all the metal members, you will see them, and they're rusted. Yeah. Because they have not taken care of what has been laid. Amen. What is important is your spiritual growth. For you to set other priorities without setting this spiritual growth, those priorities will end up as futilities. Amen. See, if I'm supposed to be, how do I put it? If I'm supposed to be living, how do I put it now, so that I won't offend people? I'll try to get it right. Okay. So assuming I'm in a classroom and I'm supposed to be getting, So let's say I'm supposed to be getting 80%, it's me. So let's say I'm supposed to be getting 80%. Some people, they are designed to be getting 100%. I'm supposed to be getting 80%. And because I'm not setting my priorities right, I'm getting 50%. Because I do not know that I'm supposed to be able to get 80, I'll be okay with that 50. Why? You say, it's just 50%, I passed. Now, it is a crime for you to be living below your level. You're supposed to be arrested and kept away till you understand that this is not your level. Hallelujah. The day I now score 80, you know things will change. The day I score 80, I will look at you, is this easy to score 80? Why have I been scoring 50? What I will do next is that what made me score 80, I will go back to it. And if I consistently do what makes me score 80, I will see that I will move another realm. Hallelujah. I've been there, so I know. When I was in GS3, my GS3 exam, that nonsense exam you people gave us, I scored 2 C's out of 9 subjects. I scored 2 C's and 7 P's. 7 P's. Yeah, it's passed. I'm happy. 2 C's. And then when I saw the result, I was shocked. I said, me? No, 2 C's. So luckily, it was in English and mathematics. So my teacher said, no, I told my mom, I pity my mom. I told my mom, madam, don't worry. The 2 C's is called, is in English and mathematics. So it won't go to technical school. It will continue with the regular school. And then I got home and I was weeping. My mother looked at me. She has never seen me in all her life. I got home and I was weeping. She said, why? I said, I read for that exam. I said, I read. And I did read. And I said, well, no problem. So when SS1 started, I'm telling you that thing I told you about, when you get 80, when SS1 started, because they now told me the reason why I scored those pieces, because in GS1, GS2, all those cumulatives were not okay. So all the efforts, thank God that I even read in that last minute. That's why. So when SS1 started, the same tenacity with which I read for that GS3 exam was what I was reading. And in that SS1, they took me to Mathematics Olympiad. The day they called me, I said, 3 of you are going for Mathematics Olympiad. This one. I said, me. You people won't get any result. But I'm saying, from then on, you will never see me get P. Your spiritual foundation matters. And if you don't build on it, if you want to build at all without a spiritual foundation, you need to pause what you are building and build on that spiritual foundation. Amen. Borrow me 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Look at what Christ told Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10. You know, sometimes when we start working, our priorities, we want to buy motor, we want to buy this. When they are given in church, you hide, say, these people that have come again. Hallelujah. Thank God for foundation. You know, when those things are, I say, no, is that why I started working? I have someone. Everything that people did for him when he was trying to stabilize his life, for him to do today, for other people, when he thinks he's stabilized, he cannot do it. He's saying, why are they always calling me? But that's how you were calling people. He's saying, this person is asking me for money. I was like, people used to ask for money. And people used to give you. So if it was okay for you then to ask for money because you didn't have, why is it not okay for people to ask you when you have now? Why is it not okay for you to give to them? It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. What was Mary doing? She sat at the feet of the Lord and was listening to his teaching. She was soaking it in. Hallelujah. Amen. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Amen. You know, thank God for English. It says, but. My set man has taught us that when you see but, it look well because it means that what is coming after is contrary to what was being said. It's opposite. Abi? So one day at a panel, they wanted to discipline somebody who was in the panel. And we begged the guys, when you get to this panel, just tell them I'm sorry. Don't say any other thing. Just say I'm sorry. And then the guy got to the panel and said, I'm sorry, but. And then on that panel, there was a, what do you call them? These people that go to court, people like Saremi, like a lawyer. And it was the first person that spoke. He said, you can't convince me you are sorry because you have said, but, and you have gone ahead to say the reasons why your but are. So everything you have said after I'm sorry has negated the sorry. And then the guy came out fuming. But I said, come, did I not tell you that, you know what they did for the guy to help him? The person that was going to prosecute him at the panel came looking for me and said, Mwiwa, assume that you are this person. I want to ask you, the guy, you know the way people are, you know, you have to be very smart in God. He said he wants to test his questioning skills. So he called me and said, I'm going to ask you questions, answer me. So he asked the first question. I was looking at him. He said, just say something. I said, just, okay. He asked the second question, he asked the third one, and I said, okay. As I was saying it, he was correcting me. I said, no. If you ask you this kind of question, this is what you say. So I was looking at the guy. It's not me. Why are you telling me this is what you say? Because the guy knows that I have a link to the other guy. And he couldn't go, and he didn't tell me that I'd go and tell him. And he couldn't go and tell the guy. He says, this is what, but I knew that he was saying, this is what will save you if you are in this kind of situation. So I went to the guy, I said, guy, listen and listen very well. These things don't happen by chance. When you get there, don't say but. Say you are sorry. Even if they say anything, say you are. So the guy went there and said, but. And then he was angry. So let's go back to, so that we will not, so that we will not be distracted like Martha. So, let me read it again. So now as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Hallelujah. Which good portion did Mary take? She chose to listen to the preaching or the teaching of Christ to develop herself internally. Hallelujah. Did Christ say that the serving was not important? No. I'm not saying don't have a poultry. I'm not saying don't wake up at 6 a.m. to go to your poultry. But wake up at 3 a.m. to pray for your poultry. Because when you get to the poultry, just assume that you get to that poultry and all the chickens just decide to display 5 minutes madness. How will you catch 600 of them? Abi? Maybe we say, I'm not a part of the people. They say everybody has 5 minutes madness. I don't have any madness. So. But assuming that those chickens decide that in that cage, they will just be flying up and down, up and down. What will you do? Will you hold one? Hold? You will display 24 hours madness. That's the truth. But he's saying here that, you know what? She has not done anything wrong. She has done what is needful. I'm preaching. I'm dishing out life. Say the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. So that's what I'm doing. Is Christ not going to eat? He will eat now. He knows he will eat. But he doesn't want to take away from you that which you should learn when you are supposed to learn it. And he said, she has chosen the good portion. Wala de. If you look on the reverse, you see that other portion is what? Is bad. Yes, now. Since he has chosen the good portion, and that good portion will not be taken away from her. You do not drift towards good things. It is with discipline that you get those good things. And once you get the good thing, Christ said it will not be taken away from you because you have built a foundation. Hallelujah. If you want to build a house, if you are not sure, please don't build a foundation for a bungalow. If you are not sure that in the next maybe 5 years, don't build that foundation. Build a foundation that you think it will be able to take 2-story, 3-story. Because if you build a bungalow on a foundation that can take 2-story, 3-story, the bungalow will still stand. But if you build a foundation that can only take a bungalow, and in the future you want to build a 2-story, 3-story, you have to remove that foundation and build a better foundation. So why not build for yourself a foundation that can stand the test of time? I want to be a banker. He has to be spiritual. Where's our daddy boy? Daddy was picking fake notes with his eyes. Even machine did not pick it. It's not him. It's a spirit of excellence. Just like he fell on Oliab and Bezaliah. They were gifted craftsmen. Have you read the description that God gave Moses? Everything that he has to build, that he gave him the length, the breadth. If he was not God, I would say it's punishment. Because he looked like, how will one man remember all these things? But then God appeared and said, you know what? These guys, I have put in them my spirit. Because he is the one that put the design. So it is his spirit that will interpret that design and will guide those people's hand. Without Christ, you are nothing. Don't think that these people, your body is something new. Have you had a little boil under your feet before? Under the foot? A tiny one under the foot. Have you had it before? That leg cannot support your body. Tiny one like this. That your leg will not be able to support your body. So please, I will take this again next Sunday. I'll continue. But that spiritual foundation is important. Christ said, Mary has done what is right. Hallelujah. You have to build yourself spiritually. Please let's rise up our feet. He told his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you put on. For this life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. It says, consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of more, how much value are you than the birds? Hallelujah. Life is more than food and more than clothing. Amen. Life is about the things you can listen to at the feet of the master. And upon those things, you begin to build your intellectual capacity, you begin to build your social capacity, and you begin to build everything around you. But without that foundation, there's nothing anybody can do. Let's just talk to him this morning. Peradventure, you have drifted. Hallelujah.
From it's 11:18 a.m.
Peradventure, you are drifted from the good things. Now is the time to make concerted effort and a consistent one to be with God. Let's talk to him this morning. Thank him for his goodness. And thank him for that which will open our eyes to see, even in the course of setting up our priorities, that our life is embedded in him. Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.